This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
And here we go. Fun times yet again.
Yeah, I typically I don't have a sunburn problem.
You don't have a sunburn problem?
I don't have issues.
You just turned darker.
It's like that first, the very first, you know, nice day. If I'm out in the sun, right, I'll get torched, right? Because they're doing something or whatever, like last year.
So you just look more Mexican.
Yeah. But then once that initial burn, yeah. Once that initial burn happens, then I start browning. It's like I get seared like a good steak, and then it's just brown.
I got to ask you, do you go to like a Mexican restaurant? They start speaking Spanish to you. Has that ever happened before?
Not just Mexican restaurants. I've gone to stores, not even Mexican stores. But if there's somebody who is Mexican, they'll start saying something in Spanish. And I'll just look at them and then they'll go, "How you doing today, sir?" And they'll start laughing. It's like, it's all good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I get that all the time.
Yeah.
So
one of my buddies I worked with, he's a bunch of different things, but he speaks nothing but English. And every time we'd be at a job site, they start speaking Spanish at him. And I'm just dropping on the floor laughing. You just like stare at him like, "I don't know what the fuck you said."
Yeah, just put that over there. Like, that'd be funny if he just started saying random shit.
Nothing even Spanish, just random words.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there a time, like, you know, when they pushed past Mexico and those guys all floated over to the islands or vice versa? Vaguely remember reading that, like, they think that some boats made it back and forth, like, from Mexico over beyond the Spaniards going through there.
Oh yeah. I suppose it's possible. It's funny because, you know, although on the flip side, from a Philippine perspective, like, I can almost, with almost 100% accuracy, I'll put it at like 95, I'll maybe pat it 90 to 95% of the time, I'll look at somebody and go, "They're Philippine." And if I actually go up and say, "Excuse me, are you feel," more often than not, I'm right. So it's funny that it's wrong the other way. Like, everybody thinks I'm Mexican, Hispanic of some kind, and start talking to me, and they're completely wrong. But on the flip side, it's like, you're Philippine, you're like, you know, out of a lineup, I could go, "You're Philippine, aren't you?" "Yep." "Oh, yeah." Or if somebody comes up to me, it's like, "You're Philippine, aren't you?" "Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah." It's like somehow in our DNA or something that we can recognize shit from a mile away.
Yeah. I don't know. You all look the same to me.
Yeah, you look right over us.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying? Because you're so tall relative to, you know, you'd be a, like, giant in the nation, in the Philippine nation.
Yeah. Yeah. If I ever talked about my laundromat story with a bunch of Asians, I don't know what actual nationality they were. Have we talked about this before?
Not that I remember.
Oh, I was probably 19 or 20. And I would be going to the laundromat, and there was this one nice laundromat, and I liked it because the washer and dryers and stuff were, like, everything was positioned well. Some laundromats, everything's kind of, but you could get close and just flip them and everything. Well, down this one little, like, nook or whatever, there was a video game, and I don't want to pick on the Asians because I don't know what country they were actually from. Yep. But there was two guys playing and they were fighting it out, and there was like 15 more standing around them cheering them on.
Sounds about right.
And my washer's done, and I need to put stuff in the dryer, and I'm standing there, and all of them are like 4'5". You know, they're all shorties. Yeah. I'm exaggerating there. They're all 5-something. But I'm standing there, trying to say, excuse me. They're all ignoring me. And finally, I just was like, hey! And they all turned, and they all turned, and then it was almost like a movie. And then looked up. And then somehow they all disappeared. It was like the parting of the seas, and they all vanished. I felt bad because I didn't want, I wasn't like,
you weren't trying to scare them off. Yeah.
Or anything. And the two guys playing the game, they ran too. And I was like,
they scattered.
They all scattered. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. All right, whatever. But it was just funny. It was like, but they're all crowded in, and it was like I couldn't understand them.
Yeah, they're probably going to come back, but with greater numbers. Like they had to go get the, that's rouse the, would the you families, or and then
how many 4-year-olds can you take on?
That's, in all honesty, when you said that, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, what was that question? 5-year-olds, 5 at a time, every 30 seconds?
Seconds? Yeah, there you go.
They're starting to come at you at waves at the laundromat.
Yeah.
Man, come on. Just make a little room.
Well, I think I sent the video to you, but there's a clip of the comedian Joe Coy, and you know he's talking about differences in Asians. And it's so spot on, especially Filipinos. It's like, you know, oh, sorry. And then what he does is, and then he talks about Koreans and Japanese and Vietnamese. It's based on my understanding and my experience. It's true. It's like he's spot on. So it's good stuff.
Everybody has a little bit of culture.
Yep. Well, and I think unrelated, but an interesting side note with the Vietnamese language, like they had no official written language. It was just all spoken and it was all whatever until missionaries came in.
And they were French first, weren't they?
And what they ended up doing is maybe French missionaries, but it was missionaries that came in and to kind of help try and figure out what was going on, they actually wrote stuff down. So now you'll see Vietnamese, but it's all like phonetically spelled, like phonetically spelled in English. Oof. Or I guess maybe, you know, Western, using the Western alphabet.
But okay,
even though it's Vietnamese and there's probably some characters or some whatever, but it's just an interesting, I always wondered that. What? It's like, because you can see Vietnamese stuff, but it's all like P-H-O-C with a, whether it's umlauts or whatever those accents. And yeah. I digress, but it's just an interesting.
When you start adding all those accents to letters, I'm gone.
Yeah.
My eyes roll in the back of my head. I have no idea.
That's fair. That's...
None of that. It's, I can barely read and write English.
I was going to say, I have an hard enough time with English. You think I'm going to figure this out?
Yeah. Well, at the same time, it's like far too many people use $10 words when a penny's worth will do, let alone a nickel's worth. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's funny when I'm reading books. The one thing I like about reading them on the Kindle is you can click on them and see what the definition. Because usually I can figure out what a word is in context, but like, what really is that word? Yeah. And I used to keep the dictionary right next to me. Now I just type it up on Google or whatever to find out.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Or if I'm reading on my Kindle, I'll do the same thing.
I'll be like, what is this?
I have something that's kind of a problem like that. But like, if you're ever reading, what is it, like some kind of fiction, and they have names of people that are just ridiculous.
Oh.
I have so many times I look at a name like, I have no idea what their name is. I know what it looks like. I'll just keep reading.
Well, there's a lot of those that, like, I know I can't pronounce it, so I just come up with the pronunciation in my head, but I never say it out loud. Mm-hmm. So that means it'll work. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll read it, and then that way it's all like
the sense.
Flow works well. Yeah. But at the same time, if you ask me to read that paragraph,
fuck off.
Well, yeah, it comes back to a bunch of, you know, I just can't pronounce those kind of sounds. I am. That can be Asian, European.
Oh, yeah.
Even a lot of Americanized names. You just. Yeah. And you always had that one guy. And even in my basic, we had Alphabet. There's just some names that people be like, Airman Alphabet. You know, it'd be like,
because there's so many. How is it that there's no consonants in your last name? Wait, what? How? Or how is there no vowels in your name? There's one vowel in every other letter of the alphabet. What? Wait, what?
Or you'd see name tapes that, you know, it should just be across the pocket and it extends.
Yeah.
Half the chest.
Yeah, it just goes dot, dot, dot. Well, I know, like, there's some folks that I work with on my team. One gal, she's a U.S. citizen. She's originally from India, and her name's Geetha Gumma. But what I forget, like, because there's her name's so long. She's like, what's in the email system for her name isn't all of it.
Right.
They truncate a whole bunch of it. So they cut it off. Like, you know, she said, I'm exaggerating, but it's almost like they cut it off in the middle. It's like, oh, okay, well, I don't have that problem, but
yeah. Some of those, you almost want to just kind of like make up a name. You know, if it was going to be that hard, it's like, here, let me give you just the easy version. Just, yeah.
Well, but on the flip side, there's a guy I work with. His first name is U-Y-U. And it gets really weird because you start going, hey, you. Could you, you know, you just pause for a second and you feel like you're not, it's his name, but it just feels weird. So you end up calling him by his last name, Mr. and his last name, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's like funny. Working with Jesus, which is actually Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. That was first time I met Jesus. I was like, he had it on his little worker tag, and I'm sitting there going, in my head, I'm like, this isn't a joke. So how do you pronounce your name?
Yeah. Well, and on the flip side, too, it's like one of my uncles, his first name is Virgilio, but and But it's funny because all his buddies growing up, in even now, like his American friends will call him Virgil, or and he just lets it go because it's like, by the time I explain it to you, just call me that or Virgilio. It's just like they totally butcher it, and I get it. It's like I totally get it.
Italian.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's. But it's just one of those things. You're just like, how hard is it to say that? But whatever, it is what it is. So.
It'd be hard for me to say it. So I
understand. Yeah, yeah. No. It's,
yeah. There's.
I get it.
Be like, do you have a nickname?
You do, but even that, like, nobody. It's one of those. What? It's like, okay, never mind. Like,
I name you Tiny.
But oddly enough, so like all his brothers and sisters, my mom and everybody, even other people in the family, call him by his nickname, but I can't for whatever reason, I've never been able to do that. It just doesn't feel right to me, so I call him Virgilio. So.
Yeah. Another in this guy was he may have known a dozen English words. Most of them were "thank you, have a good day" type thing or whatever. And several of us could not pronounce his name. And I don't know who did it to him, but I think it was Bill. Just one day they picked a name. "I'm going to call you Bill." He's like, "Okay." And that was like his nickname. It was like, it was either Bill or Bob, but I'm pretty sure it was Bill. It was like, just came out of it. It was like, "Hey, Bill." And he was good with it. It was like, instead of butchering his name or trying to figure it out, it's like, you're working around heavy equipment and setting houses and stuff. And you're like, you got to call him something besides, "Hey, you."
Hey, Bill.
Yeah. That's basically how that worked.
Stuttering for 5 minutes straight. "We'll just call you Bill so we don't fuck it up."
You know, that's a simple, hardworking way of doing things. Yeah. I don't know your name, so I'm going to give you one. You don't like it, I don't care.
You know, that brings up an interesting thing too. Like, how many, some of the best or most effective nicknames come about because of shit like that, right? Where it's just like, "Bill, you feel like a Bill to me, so we're just gonna call you Bill." Like, I mean, sometimes there's a reason why to call somebody something. Jimmy G is an obvious one. It's the initials of my name, kind of thing. It's part of my name, kind of thing. But you know, so there's those things that make sense. There's, you know, Bill, like there's people I know that, you know, do something, or because they did something, they get labeled as whatever nickname fits. Like, I mean, it's just kind of cool.
And a lot of times it fits, and everybody else that heard it or that's around at the same time, it clicks.
Yeah, it just makes sense. And
it's like, yeah, that works. Okay. And
even if it's just calling somebody by their last name or, you know, like, just whatever it is, once it's in, then it's in. And, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, just remembering some drum corps stuff and talking about some of that stuff. There's, you know, sometimes an instructor just gives it to you. Because, like this case where it's just like, you know what, I can't remember your fucking name, so I'm just going to call you this.
Yes. Or I can't pronounce your name, and we're going to go with...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make it easy for everyone. Just simplify it.
Until somebody calls you Jerry, and that's not your name. That's yeah.
Really, really, the only time that ever really bothered me or something is if you're, you know, having fun with a chica and she calls you by another name.
Ooh, that's fun. You're role playing now?
It's like, huh? Who? What?
The fuck did you just call me?
Yeah.
You want to try that again?
I don't think you call me dude ever. Oh, that's one thing that I have a problem with when my fiance calls. So usually when she's like really excited about something, she'll go, "Dude." I'm like, "I'm not dude."
Oh, we got
dude abides. That, yeah, the dude abides.
We'll just call him dude.
Yeah, dude, check this out. It's fine for anybody else.
Oh, right, for anybody else, right. It's okay. Just her.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Or like somebody calling you pal or buddy.
Friends are friends, pals are pals, and buddies sleep together.
Shit.
Hey, you never heard that before?
No.
I forget. I don't know who told me that, but I think of that anytime I use. Either I use bud or use bud or buddy or someone uses it to me, that little saying automatically, it's like
pops in your head. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a switch. Oh, you just call me Friends are friends, pals are pals, and buddies sleep together.
That just makes it worse. Thank you.
No problem.
I already hate it when people call me that.
Hey, buddy.
Now, right next podcast, sometime during this week, somebody's going to say to CJ, hey, bud, and he's just going to knock them the fuck out.
You know, bud like, doesn't bother me as bad as buddy.
But Bud's not bad, but buddy, for some reason, it sounds like you're talking to your little cousin.
Yeah. You know, if an old man said it, it would probably not bother me as bad.
No, it's a person like your age or even younger than you.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, someone calls me son and they're younger than I am. It's like, I remember over in Iraq, this young kid, and at the time, he was really young. He went into basic at 17. He was 18. I'm sitting over there at like 34, and he called me son, and I just let him have it. I'm like, I'm not your son. I'm like, I'm almost old enough to be your father.
I have skid marks on my underwear older than you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that one gets me irate. Yeah, it's like, nope. Yeah. Wrong way to use that, especially if they're younger.
Yeah.
Even peers annoy me, but if like an older guy said it, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that I get.
I don't care for it, but I can understand it, but someone younger than me saying that, it's like, nah.
It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
There's a cashier at Casey's that I go to quite a bit. And every time I go in there, he's like, how are you doing, young man? But it's not like in a confident old man voice. It's like, hey, young man. Like, he's like depressed. And every time he says that, I'm like, are you telling me that to make me feel better? Or you just feel like shit? Every single dude in line, it doesn't matter who, he'll say it to them. I'm just like, I think we get it at this point, pal.
Can I just have my pizza? I'm just trying to get my bang and get the fuck out.
Yeah. You don't have to say too much. You're doing too much.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is good conversation for our first topic of the night. The good old respect cycle. We're already sort of talking about this in the wonderful description here. Men give each other shit. It's a fact of life. Men can argue it, but it is a fact of life.
It is a fact of life, yeah.
However, does the impact man's ability to lead if it's done in front of their women or in front of their kids? Does that silently signal to others that the man isn't respected?
What was the question?
It's not a question per se. It's a topic. It's a little different than normal, CJ. This is a topic, not a question.
Right now, and of course, this is on a podcast, so this goes out to everybody. Who knows if my daughters will listen to this, or, you know,
20 years from now.
Yeah, it's stuff like that, so it may not matter. But, excuse me, you know, we give each other shit. That's what we do. It's locker room talk. It's all that sort of stuff, that banter back and forth, that in a way is how guys bond and make connections. Cause if you can take shit from somebody, then it's like, oh, hey, you're not a bad dude. Like, but if that was done in front of, you know, families, like, you know, say we were all, you know, together, and then I start giving Nate shit over something, but, and it may not impact it in the moment, but it's like, in a way they may not understand what's going on. So if it was just us guys, it's one thing, but when we're around spouses or girlfriends, family, kids, does that somehow diminish a level of it shows disrespect to either of you guys if I do that in front of your kids or whatever. And then does that, so then when you need to lead, especially think of emergency type, like, we need to do this, let's go, right? Does, in a way, does that erode some of that respect or that trust, or can it impact that if it's done too much, kind of thing? That's where I was thinking or going with this line of thinking.
This is how I think about it. It's on how you take it. Like, if you're a guy that can dish out the shit all the time to even buddies or whatever, but then they turn around and they give you shit, but you can't take it and you can't handle it, that's where I think the disrespect and the losing the leadership is. It's all in how you handle it. If you just let it roll over your shoulders and throw it back or forth or just ignore it or however you, if you handle it in a mature thing, then no, it's, hey, this is part of life. Da, 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 da. It's going to happen. You know, it's especially, I mean, if you're not time in the PC corporate world, yeah, even yeah, though they harass, if you're in the trades or if you're in something that's not in a corporate office, then you're going to get it at some point. You go into the military, you're going to get it at some point.
Oh, absolutely. And a couple things while I'm thinking of it. Sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought, Nate.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, you know, it's one thing if it's a one-time thing or, you know, I mean, I don't think that would be too certainly wouldn't be detrimental in the short term or the long term. But, you know, if it's if you guys get together, your neighbors, like over time, if it's a more of a constant or consistent thing all the time, does that or could that erode some respect from your girlfriend or wife or your possibly your kids? Like, if they may not understand it if they're young or whatever. So, you know, there's nuances to this, but just generally it's something that popped in my head a while ago. So
I think it shows back to my thought. If you don't stand up for yourself, if you let guys walk over you and you don't dish it back out to them, or the guys, you know, that I have some buddies that are just, they're basically silent. You can give them shit all the thing and they just stand there and stare at you. Not mean whatever. It's like, yeah, whatever. What else?
I mean, it's kind of the attitude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can have that attitude also. Go see.
I was going to say, there's also like, in a sense, like whenever you're like significant others meeting their significant other and like the relationship between that's new and they're hearing how you guys talk, that might be taken some type of way, like, because they don't know how you guys are together. But like, you know, a little bit more time in, they'll start to understand that's just how you two talk or whatever. And if you get along as well, if you don't actually hate the dude.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. That'll probably, if your guys are talking like that and she knows like that kind of hurts you, she's going to fucking hate that dude. If you don't let it get to you and you're fine with it and they start to know them, they're not a bad person. Cause like a lot of women can take that. Like if they talk like that straight up, a lot of women are going to be like, he's a dick. Well, not really. He just sounds like it. Cause that's how we talk at work. I've had friends when they met my fiance, they kind of talked like we do when we're out, and she fucking hated them. And it took her a while to get over that. He's not a dick. It's just, he's an idiot.
Or you could have the flip side of it. It's like, well, why don't you give that guy shit? Well, I don't like him. You know,
you would never come out to my thing. So,
yeah, or whatever. But sometimes, you know, I've had, or if you're married or whatever, like, well, why don't you commit? Well, I don't like him, so I don't communicate with him.
Yeah,
I don't even give him shit or talk beyond the hello, whatever, straight up. You know, it's like, don't like the dude, so I'm not going to give him shit, because it's like,
you know, guys hate each other when they're just standing there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or all, if the conversation is just all small talk, like it's
it's so fucking awkward.
Yeah.
She's got a couple of friends, their boyfriends or whatever like that. I'm just like, this is why I don't want to come out to these things.
Where's the
beer? Yeah, and I try. And I mean, I'm introverted, but I'll.
You?
Yeah, believe it or not, I am.
I don't.
But all that means is,
I'm introverted.
All that means is it totally sucks. You know, because extroverts get are energized by interactions with people, and introverts are the opposite. So, you know, I'm around, I could be around people, which is funny because I spend my entire day at work talking to people and facilitating meetings, and I get done and I feel like, oh my God, I just ran two marathons. Like, what? Yeah. Just give me 5 minutes. Like, I just need to rest. But yeah, but I'll try make it like conversation. It's like, I'll jump in, and maybe some of that too is because I'm an only child. So I didn't have siblings to play with. So if I wanted friend or somebody to play with, I got to make friends. So,
well, or I had to work over being shy. So I overcompensate by talking too much.
Yeah, that's fair. But so, anyway, just, I mean, it may be not a big thing, but it's got something that got me thinking. And I wonder, Nate, would it matter more in a military, active military, maybe not setting, but I don't know.
Oh, there's a definite hierarchy there. I'm, you know, between peers, what you can get away with, like with a sergeant.
Yeah, just because of the built-in.
You got that structure. Built-in structure and everything. And I mean, just switching ranks or whatever. But like, the base I was at, working with midnights was a lot looser than if you were working days. Days, you had to be on because there's all these other people around that could, you had to show up. You know, on nights, it was like just us on security. The hell that security gave each other was one thing. I mean, we made people cry. you wouldn't think that guys in the military would cry, but it's possible to give them enough shit to make them cry. But at the same token, you know, flip a switch. So there's a different, there's different levels there. You find out real fast who you can give crap to or who you can't, and who your drinking buddies are and who the snitches are and everything else. So, yeah, you got to be a little bit more on the careful side of things. But again, I mean, even it wasn't so much disrespecting. It was almost like, okay, he's giving me shit. If I don't give him shit back, then he's going to think I can't keep up. And it's that give and take. But that's also where I knew where some of the quiet guys were. That would be, they would just sit there and listen and shake their head and just laugh. And every once in a while, throw a comment out that was such a zinger that you'd be like,
oh. Yeah, I know.
You know, it's like, he actually said something. We should pay attention.
I know a couple of people like that. It's like, they rarely, if ever, let words fly.
But
every once in a while, they'll throw one out there that's like a lightning bolt from Mount Olympus
into their balls. It's like straight boom, ball.
but then they go back to saying nothing. It's like almost as if nothing happened. that's just how they're wired. It's
one of the sergeants that I had, he was pretty cool. I don't remember what state he was from, but from when we were over there, but it was right at the end of deployment. And we were out on this post and all the new guys were coming in. And these two posts, it was like a double post. You had to come through one gate, 100 feet. There was another gate to a gated area. Well, he was coming around to doing checks. Well, we'd been together for 6 months already. So, you know, we're standing there and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe 100 degrees, 90 to 100. The humidity is kind of down. And we're just like, the sun's not really up, so it's not hot yet. You know, we're used to it. It's like comfortable. This new kid, he comes walking over, and he'd only been in country for like 4 days. Sweat's rolling off of his body like insanity. He comes over and he's like, I talked to you guys, but I need to go sit in the AC. So he went back to the guard shack to sit there. You see, and the sergeant turns around, and he was one of the quiet guys, and goes, "We really have been here too long." And I lost it. I'm like, yep, we've been in the desert way too long already. Guys that were there over there even longer, it was like, yeah, no, I was like, I remember I was sweating 6 months ago, and now I'm thinking this is comfortable.
Yeah. You settle in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Beautiful morning. Sun's coming up. The birds are chirping.
Good times.
All right. Is seduction a form of power? This is actually a question, not a topic.
CJ. Topic?
Question. Is seduction a form of power?
Yeah, it's this was on here for a while, but I think I we either talked about it not long after the 50th episode about power, and I forget how, and maybe even on a podcast we sort of started talking about it, and it's one of those, oh, we should actually talk about this
yeah
on the podcast. So I the date on this is from November of last year's. So
is that the date on it?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, November 9th, 19th.
Yeah. I remembered it was from a while ago. And we kept just kind of skipping it.
And it popped up a couple times that we were going to talk about it, but then it got broomed because we
ran out of
a good conversation about other stuff, but it is something. It's like seduction, if you think of it, whether it's Casanova or who is Josephine for Napoleon or Cleopatra, even there's an actor too. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, like a silent film actor in the 20s or something like that. Rudolph Valentino, maybe. Anyway, point is, right, whether it's male or female, right, seduction, I mean, it's you don't think of it as an overt power. You know, you think of strength or you think of aggression or somehow might, big guns or what, you know, whatever. Like there's some sort of force or whatever when you think of power, or lots, a shit ton of money kind of thing, gold and those sorts of things. But seduction, you can get a lot of shit done just by whispering sweet nothings in somebody's ear, the right sweet nothings or the right way. And there's all kinds of different flavors to that too, or ways that presents itself. So,
I think this is more of a female form of power. Not that guys don't have it, but I would say it leans toward, because, you know, if you look at women, things have changed, and I'm looking more across history as a whole.
Absolutely, yeah.
Usually,
they take advantage of it more.
Yeah,
well, it's the one
power.
Yeah, it's the real actual power that they have. Yeah. Like,
because
especially throughout history, women didn't historically have lots of money.
Right.
Is only through inheritance or through, marrying.
Or their seduction of, you know, whoever married or whatever it was. Even like queens and stuff, you know, they wouldn't be able to do a whole lot, but then they had to kind of seduce their way, make them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
said, even Cleopatra.
Yep. Cleopatra comes to mind, you know, getting one army to go to. Yeah, that's why. Helena Troy is that the person.
Nick's girl.
Yeah. but I think it leans there, but I think on the guy side, I would say it'd be your playboys, your kind of your dandies or your fly. And I'm looking at all of history, not just the current.
Yeah.
Would more so you know, someone that didn't have noble blood or didn't have, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, how'd he get up there? I'm trying to think of the one. Shoot, name escapes me. But I think they are there.
Dandy, you know, the charmer.
Yeah.
The rake is another one. That's like rake.
That's another. Yeah. Oh,
man. I was also thinking too of sirens, like on the female side, like women who play like sirens or what's the little, French shit.
Casanova? Did we say Casanova?
Yeah.
Who am I? Who is another like? Maybe it is Casanova that I'm thinking of.
Romeo?
No.
I have no idea.
He was a playboy during the Victorian era. Maybe it was it's Casanova who I'm thinking of. Thought there was.
Yeah, that might be. Who's more like a dandy? Or no, yeah. Was he more of okay.
Well, Casanova wasn't a dandy.
Sort of looked. I mean, almost some of those guys can look almost feminine, but
right.
But spin it in a masculine way, as dumb as that sort of sounds. Like it's almost, I mean, arguably you could say, think of it style wise, it's a more refined sort of look, you know, like, you know, dress dapper. Shirt. And there you go.
They're exactly. Very dapper.
Yeah. And it's not, and women too, it's certainly not. I mean, you can have women who dress provocatively throughout history purposely, but then there's, I can't think of her name offhand, but I know there's, I don't know if she's a poet or something like that, but there's even Nietzsche and some other people, was it Freud even? It's like wildly in love with this woman, but she sort of wore just like, almost wore like men's clothes kind of thing. It's like just that sort of idea, but it's all in the name of seduction. It's all the name of playing that sort of game and getting guys. And, you know, sometimes it's, you're playing this continual chase that, you know, so anyway, there's so many things that, you know, seduction can, there's so much power because us men are
funny, like but idiots. On the smaller side of things, is think on a lighter note. Instead of going after a big thing, like if you flirt with your waitress, like if she's like a little bit or whatever, you'll probably get better service. If your waitress flirts with you just a little bit, and we're talking the most minor flirting, not like trying to get her out on a date, just
casual
just flirting, she'll probably get a better tip.
Yeah.
You know, you
that's a good point. It's a good way to, I mean, think of it or to approach it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a type of seduction because, you know, if the waitress just walks up and comes up and is like, what do you want? You know, you're like, and then doesn't come back. You know, there's no, you build up that quick rapport, and a good waitress knows how to pick up. And that has nothing to do with looks. It's just some of them have flirty personalities and they get tipped better, you know. But at the same token, if you want some service or something, and nowadays with all the weirdos out there, I'll call that instead of the hashtags and everything else, you know, they don't respond. But it's being nice, almost kind, and then you can add it. But if you don't add that little bit of flirty seduction kind of in there, I would say that's like on the mild end of it. There's like a spectrum, and it'll get you farther, you know. It'll just
And it's, I mean, and I do agree, I think it's more of a female, more of a female power than it would be male. Well, but that's not to say that
power dynamics usually, and we're talking, you know, again, I keep throwing this all at history because so much nowadays is different. Men usually had all the money. Strength wise, men usually are above, you know, the guys in charge were men throughout history. Not that many matriarch societies. Yep. There aren't that many matriarch societies. And I'm sure someone will listen to it and be like, you know.
Yeah, generally speaking throughout history. Yeah.
Yeah, matriarchal societies did not work or last.
But it's just an interesting, you know, to think about. And I don't think we think about it enough. Like, we all know it's there. Like, it's all...
Well, I don't. No. people that are self-aware or people that know what's going on are aware it's going on. But I know a lot of dunces that don't have a freaking clue.
No, that's a that's a fair statement. But there are a number of us guys that just
are clueless. Now, on the women's side, I would say they're pretty much in the know. But on the guy's side, they're not so much.
The awareness there on male side is quite low.
Yes.
I was going to say, it's one of the things that women consciously know that they have. If they have it, guys, it's in like more finite kind of deal. If you have it, you really have it. But if you don't have it, you don't have a fucking lick.
And you're clueless on top of it.
Well, and if you think about
that, that's always great to see emotion. One of your buddies has no idea and watch some girl flirt with him and he's got no idea. So he's just playing. It's not, he's playing stupid. He's just being stupid. It's always beautiful to watch.
I would agree.
You know, she was flirting with you. What?
She was just being nice.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Well, and you know, even the best of quote unquote best of men have been like, you know, geez, with Cleopatra, it's like took down Alexander.
Like, all right, all in all the Caesars and
yeah, or you know, and I mean, you know, Napoleon was fantastic until Josephine came along. So, like, I mean, well, not fantastic.
Catherine, but, you know. Wasn't it Catherine the Great for Russia?
Oh, yeah.
She came along and stirred the pot.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
So even the best of us can get flummoxed. By the power of seduction. So,
well, there's another thing. You know, the guys that do understand it can't get sucked into it. You know, we won't be buying bathwater
or farts. Or farts in a jar. Or used bed sheets.
Yeah. No. Those are the guys that are getting used and are clueless.
You're not farting in my face. I don't want it.
I mean, what you do in your own free time?
I was so trying to avoid any shit conversation.
We don't judge here. Be our podcast.
What the real thing?
I mean, if you're gonna do it, you might as well go all the way, right?
That's like, I'm saying, why would you get the full jar. Experience? A jar lost the fucking.
Or
good
selling
stuff.
NFTs of fart jars, like.
I still don't understand the NFTs. That's
What's worse? You're not even buying an actual jar that could or could not have an alleged fart in it. You'd rather buy a digital token of fuck off. If you have that kind of money, send it to us. Give us a call. We'll put that capital to good use.
Yeah. Oh, hell. Oh, this is such an open-ended question. Where do we go?
Let's do it.
Freedom versus safety. Episode 91, we were discussing Canada and Mexico. Oh, okay.
And I think actually CJ may have brought this up or mentioned it. Like the balance is, do you want to be free or do you want to be safe? Like that's the sort of dichotomy. Because that's one thing that we were talking about, you know, laws and
how many corners have a camera on them.
Yeah.
Why does a small town in Iowa have freaking speed cameras at all their lights in their city?
Because we know you're coming. No.
Hey, when I'm in the big truck, I'm going slow, so it don't matter.
You drive like a grandma for a reason. Speaking of that, it's hell week.
Yeah. I made it through the first day.
The next 72 hours, DOT's rolling deep. And I just got my truck fixed, so hell yeah.
Tomorrow I'm praying and that, yeah. Today was the day I thought I was going to get nailed for sure, because that was down the stretch of road where I got like stopped 3 times last year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So freedom versus safety.
Yeah.
I think
I don't know where we go with it. It is kind of open-ended, but can you have, are they mutually exclusive? I think in what we were talking about, if I remember vaguely, was around, government and, how much do we have things to protect us or do we trust ourselves to do those sorts of things? So,
and we hit on this a little bit on my rant about the camera sign that says cameras are up for your safety.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, CJ?
I was going to say, when I put the cameras up in my house, that's definitely not for your safety.
See, that's how I know where to aim. It's so I know where to aim.
I don't. I'll
have two alarms. I'll have the cameras going off and the two dogs. Yeah. I'll definitely always know.
You know, it's not for your safety. It's for whoever's behind the camera safety.
Yeah, it's just for like confirmation for we know what's going on.
Yeah, but it's like all the city streets that have a camera on it, or even along the highway where they're keeping track of traffic or whatever, and they got a camera up.
It's not for safety; it's for surveillance. I mean, surveillance isn't safety. Surveillance is just knowing what people are doing. It's kind of an invasion of privacy, even though it is on city land or whatever.
Right.
Well, that kind of you're going into a very gray area. Is it public or is it private? If it's private and there's cameras, okay. But if it's public area, then you're kind of fucking with the whole thing of freedom. Yeah. That's going for safety, but it's not even safety. Yeah. Surveillance is not safety. Surveillance is just knowing what you did.
It's not just surveillance, too. I mean, you think of all the ways, regulations and rules and all this sort of stuff. I mean, and sure, some things may have made a difference, and whether that's seatbelts and other safety features in cars. But if you think about all these, there's all these layers of things where you can't. And some of them certainly make sense, right? You can't sell poison and call it food, edible, potable water and edible food. But, there's some of those things more generally speaking. But I think by and large, at least the three of us here, and correct me if, feel free to tell me I'm wrong, but it's like the three of us here would give me freedom. I can make, because with that freedom, I can make my own, I'll make my own decisions. I'll take care of my own safety.
Right.
I'll make all that work for me. I know what's best for me and mine. You take care of, everyone else should kind of have that same sort of self-interest in the name of,
but that's opt why we for have the freedom police, versus Jimmy safety. G, you call them and they'll come out and protect you. You don't need to protect yourself.
Until they arrest you too, because you're the prime suspect.
Well, and that's another thing too. I mean, unless you live right next door to the fire department or the police department, they're a couple, at best, they're a couple minutes out. At most, they're worse.
I won't say which fire department, because that could come back to haunt me, but there was a local fire department that their own station burned down. So living next to the fire department isn't necessarily.
And, times are certainly different. That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I still think it's funny every time I drive by their new building. I still think it was an insurance job by the city.
I'm sure it was.
We want a new one. Let's just burn this fish down.
Let's just burn it down. Yeah.
It was a training Illinois. Exercise.
That went wrong.
It is Illinois. So
we got the new guys on. We didn't know what to do.
They pulled the fire alarm and ran out. I don't know if they did that or not, but you know, yeah.
It'd be kind of crazy, if they did I know this would never happen, but a thought experiment, splitting half of America, one side for safety, one side for freedom, how they would prosper and how it would be so much different. Each side.
That would be cool.
One side's ran like California, the other side's ran like actual Texas before the California people went there.
You know what? I think it would be easier for all the people that. We should move west. All the people that want freedom should go west. That would cut out a lot of prime land that I like, but I think there's, because I kind of had the Texan mentality and I could still find some trees and woods. So we'll use Mississippi as the halfway point and we'll just, freedom to the west of the U.S. And then you can have all the cameras, all the security, all whatever. But even with security guards, they're some of the lowest paid guys and they're supposed to be protecting you.
Lowest paid really and the lowest standards.
But you think about it. Do you think if you're paying a guy minimum wage, he's going to really protect you from bad guys?
No. He's going to call the other people.
Yeah. It's like, you want in here? Sure, go ahead. Why do you think it's a false sense? There's probably what it is. It's a false sense. I can't even spit it out. False sense of security, a false sense of safety. And it's almost like the politicians want to be we're making things safer. But yet it erodes freedom every time they do it. Well, look at it. We're one of the last countries that allows, people to own guns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, we want to make everyone safer. Well, why are there death rates and shootings and everything so high in these other countries? They didn't become safer. It's just the bad guys have guns now.
Yeah, and cities or states that have some of the most aggressive gun laws have the highest gun crime, whereas cities or states that have the most guns per capita, some of the safe, relatively safer. Speaking, are safer, and it's or the number of gun deaths relative to states that have strict gun laws is so far so disproportional that it's, and I wonder too how much of this topic, freedom versus safety, is sort of, it seems obvious, it may seem obvious once I say it, but it's independence versus dependence. Mm-hmm. It's like, I trust me to do the things I ought to provide for myself and my family, all those sorts of things, versus I want the government to give me universal basic income and food and do all this stuff, take care of it all. And there are people who would just be content with that. Oh, I could focus on whatever. And of course, I could write my novel. Of course, they'd never write the fucking novel. But, stuff like that. It's like, oh, I can follow my muse or my artistic passions.
There's something I've never understand about universal income. Where's the motivation to work then?
Zero.
Oh, there is none.
you look at all the businesses and everything else, it's like, okay, but the same people that are pushing for universal income for the lower end people or this or that or whatever else. And it's like, but do you realize you won't have any restaurants then? Well, we will need people to work there. Yeah, but they're not going to because you're paying them and they don't have to go work now. Well, but how can I go out to eat?
Communists can work, god damn it.
I had one of those arguments with the person, and I was like, if you think about it, they're not making $250,000 a year like you are, but you get to go out and enjoy those fancy restaurants, which helps a waitress out, which helps a cook out, which helps
busboy,
dishwashers, host, and the owner of it. It's like you're keeping them all employed, but yet you think they should get universal income so they don't have to work. Well,
well, we've seen that recently. I actually talked to a guy who helps run a number of, like, a local restaurant chain, and they have a number of locations here in town. And I had an opportunity to ask him. It's like, you know, before things got crazy here, you know, there were people working, and now we see people scrambling to hire from grocery stores or big box stores to small mom and pop shops to restaurants to coffee shops to you name it. Doesn't matter. It's like people are hiring all the time, and some of the wages that they're offering is like almost makes me go, well, shit. Like, maybe I might sign up. But I asked her, it's like, you know, so, you know, I know before all the craziness happened, you guys were staffed and everything was great. And he's like, oh yeah, it was ridiculous. And then government, state, local, and even federal starts giving out money, like, you know, some more than others, some states more than others. And, but from a federal level, it's like, oh, well, this is good enough. I can get this much money. So I'm not going to work for the next 3 months. So I'll see you in 3 months.
Right.
And then 3 months becomes 6 months. Becomes 9 months, and now that stuff's starting to run out, and he's like, we're scrambling to hire people, but then the people we hire aren't the caliber of people that we lost. And so plus you have, there's whether it's he, and he's like, and it doesn't matter, adults, kids, they're all like staring at their phones more than they are helping customers. And it's like, hello, like, yep. So now you have to watch, there's even more overhead to supervise and all that sort of stuff. And you're putting out all this effort for little return on that investment. They're not self-starting. They're not trying to, you know, and granted, a restaurant, fast food isn't necessarily, you know, you don't go, oh, I'm going to be a cashier. But at the same time, right, you know, it's an opportunity. You all got to start somewhere kind of thing. And anyway, it's just an interesting conversation. He kind of confirmed what I thought. It's like, with the amount of free money going out, where's the incentive, to your point, Nate, where's the incentive to work? Yeah. If you're going to give me it, even if it's a little bit below or maybe even half of what I was making, but I got free money and I don't have to work, I'm in. And Lord knows, shit, I'm a lazy bastard at times. I would love to not work and not do anything and as still get a paycheck. Pay me
at your current rate.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay you at your current rate. Not just everyone leveled at the same.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, right. Yeah, but you pay me what I'm paying and I don't have to work. I'm being paid and I don't have to work. Fuck yeah, I'm in. But I realize the world doesn't actually work like the fantasy in my head. I know,
but so. At the same token, you'd still take that government money. And then you would go find other work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd find a way to be productive.
The productive people are going to go find another job. They're going to go find something to do. Oh, and you might not get paid cash. It might be you get paid in cigars or you get paid in food or
you
get paid in alcohol or coffee or whatever it is.
Free golf, like, or free. Yeah, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, all right.
My dad and a whole bunch of other people, like, you know, retired, had a steady office job and then retired and, you know, and then after a while, he's like, well, fuck this shit. I'm going to do something. And he did volunteer reading books to kids in schools. And then he volunteered at the senior center and helping, you know, older folks. But then he finally settled on something that was more interested in him or whatever. But still, it's like, you know, he was retired for a little while and enjoyed that. I don't have to deal with the bullshit and all of that. And Now I'm bored.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah, yeah. So
you got to find something to do. You got to have, you know, especially with guys that don't have hobbies and stuff. You know, they don't have anything besides work. They really got to find something to do. They just
yeah, work or their family. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You know, kids are all grown up. You know, it's like, okay, I got to go do something. Oh, especially that were like in high,
high pressure or high, you know, fast pace.
That, but more so that they like, I'm thinking of one of the sales guys. I know he was like a manager at several different shops and stuff. He's just used to talking to people all day. He's just very social to begin with.
Yeah,
what do you do? He got a part-time job working at a test lane because he knows the stuff. What's it give him? It gives him people to talk to.
Yeah, social.
The job's not that interaction. Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, a high social interaction job. You know, it's like you go home and all you got to do is talk to your wife. Well, she's going to get bored with you pretty quick, you know, especially when you're used to talking to 100 guys a day. It's like, well, I need a little bit more stimulation than what you can offer. Even though last night was fun. And the night before, and the night before, but I need some social interaction. Yeah. Especially if you're an extrovert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And that's where you get your energy. Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't have that problem.
Where do you get your energy, CJ? What? Are you an introvert or extrovert?
Definitely an introvert.
Oh,
I do enjoy talking to people, but I couldn't do it all day.
Yeah. It's draining. It's not that I can't talk to people or communicate with them, but I recharge by not talking to people.
I find it draining if it's like all day and it's constantly new people.
Oh, yeah.
That's making constant new relationships. That would be draining as fuck. But if I'm talking to people that I like, enjoy, I know well, that's totally a different thing. Then I'm not really introverted.
So no, I would like say you, but it's still draining. Like when you get done with this podcast, even though we have a blast talking to each other, you're going to go chill for a few minutes.
Take a dump.
After I keep farting over here. Yeah.
He wants to smell his own farts.
What do you think I've been leaning over every time
for? How often do you Dutch oven your girl?
Not as often as you would think. Because I know that she can throw it back too. So I'm just like, I'm not getting that war started.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because then it just escalates and then it's like,
you don't want to play that game anymore.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Someone ends up shitting the bed.
Yeah. It's all fun and games until somebody shits in the bed. Yeah.
It's going to happen. You're going to roll over and be like, oh, there was a little extra.
I got to go.
Damn it. I got even in on the shit conversation. I was trying so hard not to. You and your damn fart, CJ. Damn it. All right. Our last thought for the night. Hive mind versus mastermind. See, I'm trying to clear up some of our thoughts from other podcasts.
Yeah, our old backlog, yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of backlog I'm trying to get through.
Yeah, I think there's a description here, but I think we talked about this either briefly on a podcast or after.
Yeah.
And then it's something like we were just talking about, you know, like us and a group of our friends, a group of us together. And it's like, if you have a question, you throw it out to everybody. But then there seems to be a point at which you kind of not evolve, but maybe learn and grow and mature to a point where, okay, I'm not throwing stuff out to everybody. I'm talking to Nate because he knows about blah. I'm talking to CJ because he knows about this thing. or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think if I'm remembering this conversation some, I think a hive mind is you got one person at the top and everybody follows. That's how I think of a hive mind. Here's one person put on a pedestal, or he's the idol or whatever. And whatever he says, it's like that group of followers with them follows him around and just parrots whatever that person says. Whereas with a mastermind group, you're looking at it in the sense of kind of like what Jimmy G was saying. It's like, okay, we've got a whole bunch of guys that know a bunch of different things. So let's pull the specialties out of them.
Pretty much, I see the difference is the hive mind is following somebody blindlessly, just going by their word. And then a mastermind is actually questioning something that somebody says. And not, maybe that's not the best way to look at something. Maybe you all, it's kind of like putting your heads together. Because right. maybe I don't know everything, but if I throw this question out there, it can, I can actually like build upon what I already know with a hive mind. If I throw something out there, like, yep, it's a bunch of yes men.
Yeah.
Or you get the other thing I find, it's like everybody responds. Like, so you get like 10,000, you know, whatever. It's, or some of it's the same advice and some people did. Like, I don't know. And maybe there's a time in, is there a time in any man's journey where that makes sense? Like you just have a bunch of guys that you throw shit out to and say, hey, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. Just something that I thought of. But, and then as you mature or grow, it's like, it's less about shotgun approach to finding answers to my problem. It's,
well
I now have a group of guys purposely.
I was going to say, it's usually built. More finite. You know the people to ask because you actually respect what they have to say. You know they're not.
And that's, I think idiot, that's a good part of, good point too, right? There's,
well, that's
a big like thing.
Groups. We should have said hive mind group or mastermind group. On your quick thing, like a mastermind group, you might have 10 guys that all know a little something, but they all have their specialties. So if they each one have their specialties, then it's like, oh, well, if I hit him up for this or I hit him up for that, that to me is a mastermind group. It's like, okay, I don't know everything. And there's other thing. You can admit you don't know everything and you have to ask for help.
Yeah.
Where CJ was dead on the hive mind part of you ask one person for everything and he tells you how to do it. Hey, have you ever put a doorknob in? Yeah, sure. You got to have a hammer and a couple of 2-penny nails. Wait, what? Yeah, you got to use a hammer to pound that doorknob in. You know, the guy might not know anything, but if it's a hive mind, everybody will be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Same guy that, oh, his shit doesn't stink. Yeah, sure. Right. Mm-hmm. So
how do you go about, can you build that? How do you go about building that?
What, a mastermind group or the hive?
Yeah, versus a hive mind, right? I mean, you know, and sometimes it's, like I said, the way I think of it is more of, I throw something out and it's more of a general, hey, I don't know, blah, who here knows this?
Well, or it's like, who do you make as friends or good acquaintances? It might even just be a good acquaintance. Like, okay, you finally found a mechanic that seems like he's never lied to you and charges you fairly. Okay, that can become part of a mastermind group of your own personal mastermind group. Or, you know, it's like, I'm looking at to put a roof on. Well, CJ's in the roofing business. Maybe he can answer some of the questions for me, or he can tell me who to call or whatever to get me in.
To think about what to look for, what to consider.
Consider. And I think you just start having to build relationships. I actually have to talk to people.
Well, and there's that old adage of, or, you know, anymore, it seems cliche, but your net worth is your network.
Yep.
Or your network is your net worth. whatever, however it's worded, but you know, there is, and that's not just something that's propped up or popped up today. That's something throughout time. It's like who you know, making those connections. Like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be friends, but you do need to build relationships enough, working relationship to the point where, you know, even like whether it's the Godfather or whether like whatever, it's just you make these connections that say, okay, hey, I did this. Could you help me out with this? Because I, you know, you helped me out with this thing one time. Now you're going to come to me and say, hey, I got a question for you because I think you may know the answer. Or where should I go for, even if it's like, what should I, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I don't know, but I know CJ. And he's done stuff like that. So maybe we give CJ a call and kind of thing.
And I think that's just, it's like word of mouth and just building up. And I mean, and the worst case is even on the interwebs. You get on there or you find a group on there or you find, you know, it's like you can reach out. You got, what's the two big sites you can hire people off of?
Fiverr.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of. But yeah,
Fiverr is the first one, and then there's another one, Upworks.
Yeah.
I think Upworks is another. It's like, okay, you're going to go into business, but you don't know how to find these people. Hell, go online and start hiring people and build your own mastermind group. You know, if you're doing it on a business aspect type thing, but it's back to building relationships. Where a hive mind just goes and follows one person and does whatever they tell, you know, it's almost cult-like. And it could be on a mass scale, unfortunately. you see it.
Yeah, because you basically get the same exact answer, just said different ways.
You're doing sometimes great. Not even said different ways, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Good job. You're doing great. Awesome.
Well, and you know, I just you know, and in this day and age, right, it's like, and who knows what the future holds, so it's like building those networks, even if you're not, you know, you may not even be fully prepared and have enough cash set aside or enough food, water, all those things set aside, but at the very least, you know, you still need to build those relationships and connections for whatever. Like, almost that's part of prepping or part of whatever. And you know, we kind of alluded to this in the freedom versus safety sort of stuff, but you know, no one's coming to, and we've mentioned this a number of times on the podcast, no one's coming to save you. No. Even your best friends are going to be tied up in their own shit. If they're, you know, especially if they're friends in town or family in town, sure, you're going to need to make sure that they're okay, but communications may be down and you may not even be able to call them. So,
and being part of this, and we'll bring this up, good old yesterday over this past weekend or whatever, you know, I had a blowout on the van and no spare tire, but you know, I built those relationships up. So it was like, called someone and they were like, all right, I'm on my way.
Yep.
They're coming out to get me. Well, I'm sitting there and it's like, okay, what's my best way to get a tire and wheel and get the van off this highway? Oh, wait, my neighbor, he deals with Ford trucks all the time. I wonder if he has any wheels out back, blah, 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 blah. So I texted him real fast. I ain't home, but there's some wheels and tires. Got lucky. So got home, which I wasn't that far from, you know, it saved me from coming home to get tools, to go back out, to come back into town, try to find a tire shop open on a Sunday. You know, it's like, okay, he had one wheel that fit and the tire held there. That's all I needed to get home 20 miles. You know, it's
just enough to get there. Yeah.
But it's building relationships, knowing those people, having those phone numbers. You know, my neighbor didn't have to do anything besides say, yeah, I think I have one. You know, someone else came and spent a whole bunch of gas money on me to get me home safely.
Yeah, but, you know, it's so important. And I think
that's almost more important on the prepping side of things, because mm-hmm. it's the small stuff like that that's going to hang you up. The major catastrophe, you know, at the end of the day, lead will outwin gold when the major catastrophe happens. Whoever has the lead wins. You can go collect supplies from all the neighbors you don't like. It's that easy.
That's true. That's so true.
I don't like you, but you have a lot of stuff. Now it's mine. You know, if there's no police, no electricity, no anything, there's no one coming back to you. There's no one coming to save you. You got to look out for yourself at that point.
Well, and you know,
block.
Yeah. but even then too, like I know a friend of mine, he lives in Arizona. He was former military, but he's now retired. But he, a year, maybe 2 years ago, he posted a video of him. He bought a generator. And it was mostly for his family and his extended family, but he posted it, you know, some of his friends were asking about it. So then it's like, oh, here, I just posted a video on Facebook, and it was just him walking through his setup. I bought this type of generator and whatnot. And whatever the thing about the video, he's like, and it, I can run two other extension cords to other houses, so now if need be I can go far enough to either house on either side of my house, so I can say, hey, if you need some power, I can provide that. I rejigger what I'm using in my house, and we'd have to balance that out so each of us can have enough power to do whatever it is that we need. But now I got three families working together to watch our generator and to fuel it and to all this sort of. So now I got people working, at least working with me, right, not against me kind of thing. And again, it's just another form of networking that you're going to have to do whether you want to or not. So might as well start building that. And how easy is it to look at our phones or hop on the internet and Google something or have an app for something when the real answer is I should have a guy for that as well, or a gal, but you know what I'm saying. It's like,
or have a book for that. Like I have a first aid book, but I also have a first aid app.
Yeah, yeah. No,
my phone's with me most of the time, but yeah, if all the phone's dead and the electricity's down, it's like, it's good to have a first aid book to look at things and pictures and everything else.
Yep.
I'm sure CJ looks it up for all the rashes on his ass. So,
Yeah, but it's definitely a lost, just even building a network, right? Of folks. I think that's definitely a lost. And it's easy to do because you can go, oh, shit, I'm an introvert. Fuck meeting new people. Excuse me. But you kind of, I mean, the reality is that you have to. So might as well learn how to do that. So start talking to people, you fuckers. All you listening, start talking to people. While you're talking to people, let them know about the podcast.
I've never sent you.
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah. Well, and there's like the funny part, like the newest neighbors that I have, they don't talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Same.
It's like all the other neighbors, we all kind of know each other one way or the other, and we'll help each other out and stuff. But yeah, if things go south, those neighbors are screwed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's like, why would I help you? You're not even friendly. You don't even wave. You know, it's like nothing. It's like, yeah. But yeah, tell a friend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know what our new neighbors look like, if that tells you anything.
Shit. That's crazy.
They have like 3-4 vehicles in their parking lot, and I see them from the distance, but that's about it. Yeah.
And that's why you put cameras up, didn't you? So you
can no, it. It's not that. It's because I don't trust people.
That's not necessarily a bad, bad approach. Yeah. And at least, you know, for the most part, where you're at, you can see them coming. So
Either exactly. Have a dog or security cameras.
Yeah. Like you said, it's protecting your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, your castle, man. Yeah.
Damn straight. It's my fucking moat.
Well, this has been another good night. Yeah,
it was good discussion. Lots of different stuff. So
got caught up on our backlog.
Yeah.
It's probably a fuckload more in there.
Yeah,
there is.
If you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you pick up podcasts. Check out barbarianrhetoric.com for our backlog and a bunch of other articles. Tell a normie friend, build your network, and tell a normie friend about the podcast. Spread the word, help build the BR Nation.
There we go.
And if there's any topics you want us to cover, just hit us up in the DMs. Our ads on Instagram and everything else should be in the description. If I am.
Yep. They are.
Yep.
Yes.
You got it. You got awesome. It.
Nice. Even CJ's waking up.
I'm here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Jans. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.